Nanandashunu kshana bhanga saurida samikshate na svakrita turabhata vihaya gehan svajanan sutan patin stadasya madho pagatana vapriya. Alas, Nanda's son who breaks loving friendships in a second will not even look directly at us. Forcibly brought under his control, we abandoned our homes, relatives, children and husbands just to serve him, but he is always looking for new lovers. Sukam prabhata rajaniyama asishata satya babuva satya babuvu purayoshitam juvam yasam pravishtasya mukam rajaspate pasyantya pangod kalitas mitas savam. The dawn following this night will certainly be auspicious for the women of Mathura. All their hopes will now be fulfilled, for as the Lord of Braja enters their city, they will be able to drink from his face the nectar of the smile emanating from the corners of his eyes. Tasam mukundo madumanju parasitaya grihita citta paravan manasyapi katam punana prativas pratiyasyate bala gramya salajja smita vipramaya brahman. O gopis, although our mukunda is intelligent and very obedient to his parents, once he has fallen under the spell of the honey sweet words of the women of Mathura and been enchanted by their alluring, shy smiles, how will he ever return to us, unsophisticated village girls? Adya dhruvam tatra trishova visyate tasahabau jantaka vishni satvatam mohotsavasri ramanam gunaspadam draksyam yecha dvani devaki sutam. When the Dasharas, Bhojas, Andakas, Vishnis and Satvatas see the son of Devaki in Mathura, they will certainly enjoy a great festival for their eyes, as will all those who see him travelling along the road to the city. After all, he is the darling of the goddess of fortune and the reservoir of all transcendental qualities.
Maitad vidhasya karunasya nama buddh akrur ityeta dativa daruna yosavanasvasya sukdukkitam janam priyat priyam nishyati paramatma.
He who is doing this merciless deed should not be called akrura. He is so extremely cruel that without even trying to console the sorrowful residents of Braja, he is taking away Krishna, who is more dear to us than life itself.
Anadradhirisha samastito ratam tamanvami cha tvarayanti durmadha guparano bhistavarayaru pachitam daivam chanodhya patikulami hate.
Hard-hearted Krishna has already mounted the chariot, and now the foolish cowherds are hurrying after him in their bullock carts. Even the elders are saying nothing to stop him. Today fate is working against us. Purport: Srila Sridhar Swami reveals what the gopis thought. These foolish cowherd men and elders are not even trying to stop Krishna. Don't they realize they are committing suicide? They are helping Krishna go to Mathura, but they will have to come back to Vrindavan and will certainly die in his absence. The whole world has become nonsensical.
Nivarayama samupetya madhavam kimno karishyam kulabhidda bandhavaha mukunda sangan nimishada dusyajad traivena vidvam sitatina chetasam.
Let us directly approach Madhava and stop him from going. What can our family elders and other relatives do to us?
Now that fate is separating us from Mukunda, our hearts are already wretched, for we cannot bear to give up his association, even for a fraction of a second. Purport, Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti describes what the gopis thought. Let us go right up to Krishna and pull at his clothes and hands and insist that he get down from his chariot and stay here with us. Mm-hmm. We will tell him, don't bring upon yourself the sinful reaction for murdering so many women. But if we do that, said other gopis, our relatives and the village elders will discover our secret love for Krishna and abandon us. But what can they do to us? Yes, our lives are already wretched now that Krishna is leaving. We have nothing to lose. That's right, we will remain in the Vrindavan forest just like presiding goddesses, and then we can fulfill our true desire to stay with Krishna in the forest. Yes, and even if the elders and our relatives punish us by beating us or locking us up, we can still live happily with the knowledge that Krishna is residing in our village. Some of our girlfriends who are not imprisoned will cleverly find a way to bring us the remnants of Krishna's food, and then we can remain alive. But if Krishna is not stopped, we will certainly die.
Yasya nuraga lalita smita valgu mantra lila valoka parirambana. Oh, this is a different meter actually. Yasya nuraga lalita smita valgu mantra lila valoka parirambana rasa goshtam nitasmanakshanamivakshanadavinatam gopya katam natitare matamodurantam.
When he brought us to the assembly of the rasa dance, where we enjoyed his affectionate and charming smiles, his delightful secret talks, his playful glances and his embraces, we passed many nights as if they were a single moment. O gopis, how can we possibly cross over the insurmountable darkness of his absence? Purport. For the gopis, a long time in Krishna's association passed like a moment, and a single moment in his absence seemed like a very long time.
Yo nakshaye brajamananta sakapadito gopair vishankura rajas churitala kasrak venum kvanan smita kataksh shanirikshanena chittam chinoti amumritenu kattamba vema.
How can we exist without Ananta's friend Krishna, who in the evening would return to Braj in the company of the cowherd boys, his hair and garland powdered with the dust raised by the cow's hooves? As he played his flute, he would captivate our minds with his smiling, sidelong glances.
Shri Shukuru Vacha Ivam Bruvana Virihatura Visham Prajasriya Krishna Vishakta Manasaha Visrijala Jam Rurudhus Masusvaram Govinda Damodara Madhava Eti.
Shikadev Goswami said, after speaking these words, the ladies of Braj, who were so attached to Krishna, felt extremely agitated by their imminent separation from him. They forgot all shame and loudly cried out, O Govinda, O Damodara, O Madhava. Purport. For a long time the gopis had carefully hidden their conjugal love for Krishna. But now that Krishna was leaving, the gopis were so distressed that they could no longer hide their feelings. Excuse me.
Srinam ivam ridantini mudite savitaryata akuras chodayama sakrita maitradiko ratam.
But even as the gopis cried out in this way, Akura, having at sunrise performed his morning worship and other duties, began to drive the chariot. Purport. According to some Vaishnava authorities, Akura offended the gopis by not consoling them when he took Krishna to Mathura. And because of this offense, Akura was later forced to leave Dwarka and be separated from Krishna during the episode of the Shyamantaka duel. At that time, Akura had to take up an ignoble residence in Varanasi. Apparently, Mother Yashoda and the other residents of Vrindavan were not crying like the gopis, for they sincerely believed Krishna would be coming back within a few days. Om Agyanati Nirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Niditam Tena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayarupa Gadamayam Dadanti Svapadantikam Muktam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatri Patamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. So, the gopis are singing their Viraha Gita, it's described as song of separation. They're chastising providence for separating them from Krishna. Interesting comparisons here. The gopis are always meditating on Krishna, his form, his touch, his fragrance, the sound of his, of the playing of his flute. That's their continuous meditation. And so they're realizing that Krishna's going to Mathura will be the finish of their, of any opportunity that they had to be with Krishna, to see him, to meet with him. Although, almost paradoxically, Krishna's departure is simply increasing their meditation. They're not actually going to be without Krishna. Which is one of the reasons why this Vipralamba Seva, or this service in separation, is considered to be the topmost meditation, because of its intensity. As Jun Ji Prabhu mentioned yesterday, you know, when you lose something that's very dear to you, then that can create great pain. The example of, you know, getting a traffic fine, getting a parking ticket, it's very painful. Ask Money Griever, you know, he got about 3 speeding fines in 3 weeks. All Dandikaranya, all from the same camera driving past the same spot. So every time they drive past, over 60, 50 or whatever it is, kilometres an hour, click, $230 please. Especially for a poor man, a poor person who has to work very, very hard for their money and doesn't have very much money, then to lose that money is so painful. So that's an inkling. That's just an inkling or an indication of the pain that the gopis are experiencing in losing the association of Krishna. They live for an opportunity to see Krishna, to hear his flute, to be seen by Krishna. In fact, almost practically speaking, they're praying to be dead. Most of us are praying to be dead, or they're praying that, you know, it's not fair, you're taking away our life. Death would be sort of like, would be a mercy. It's not mentioned here, but it becomes their mood. That's the desperation, the exasperation that they're feeling. And they're criticizing Providence. You are coming in the form of akrura, which means not cruel. But we understand that you are cruel because you're taking away our opportunities to see Krishna. You are making, there's one thing here. You are making us blind. You are making us blind. One criticism. Not that the gopis will become blind, but rather they feel the perfection of our vision is to see Krishna. If we can't see Krishna, then we're going to be as good as blind. We have seen, even in one of his features, in one of his characteristics, the perfection of the entire creation, the perfection of your entire creation. And yet you're taking away that opportunity for us to see Krishna. Then they're saying, they're criticizing Krishna. We know that Krishna is always looking for new girlfriends. Right? Now look, he can't even look at us. He's made us give up our relationships with our families, with our husbands, with our sons. He's forcibly made us break up those relationships. But now he's breaking the relationship that he had with us. This is not fair. It's sort of what is it? The pathos, is that the right word? It's very heartbreaking when you think about it. When you meditate on this pastime, the gopis say, "We've given up everything to serve Krishna, and now Krishna is just breaking that relationship." Of course, actually, Krishna is also feeling separation from the gopis. He's also feeling the same mood of separation, the interesting thing is. But they're saying, when Krishna goes to Mathura and he sees the sophisticated behaviour and the attractiveness of the girls of Mathura, then he'll never come back. This great misfortune of ours is their good fortune. Right? Tomorrow morning, they will realize their good fortune. But we are realizing our misfortune. And so he'll never return. He won't return to us unsophisticated village girls. Of course, some of them are saying, yes, don't worry, it's okay. Krishna will return. But the gopis, realizing actually Krishna will not return. And so then they decide, we'll have to stop him. We'll have to stop him. But it's interesting, they're so stunned in lamentation, they can't do anything. They decide to go and stop Krishna and hold on to his clothes, hold his hands, whichever way, pull him off the chariot, basically pull him off the chariot. Pull him out of the car, don't let him get away. But they can't do anything. They're so stunned with the thought of, just like it's mentioned here, Sridhar Swami says, the whole world has become nonsensical. Everything has become crazy. There's nothing we can do to stop Krishna. Even though they want to stop Krishna from going, they're actually not able to. Physically, they're not able to. Oh gopis, how can we possibly cross over the insurmountable darkness of his absence? As is mentioned here, the gopis spent so much time with Krishna. You know, the rasa dance is described as having been performed for the length of a day of Brahma. So, you know, they spent so much time in association with Krishna, yet that association was just went so quickly. Huh? Yet, in contemplation of their separation from Krishna, they're thinking, oh no, this is going on forever and ever and ever. Yugayatam Namishena Chakshusha Prabhasayatam, this is Lord Chaitanya's prayers. A moment's separation feels, a moment feels like 12 years or more. So they're saying, how can we possibly cross over the insurmountable darkness of his absence? How can we exist without Ananta's friend, Krishna? How can we exist without Balaram's friend? Who in the evening would return to Braj in the company of the cowherd boys, which is what the gopis would always look forward to. At the end of the day, the gopis would always look forward to seeing Krishna coming out of the forest and into back to his home, Nanda Maharaja's home. And then when Krishna would be playing his flute, he'd be also then looking at the gopis and admiring them and also beckoning them, calling them, teasing them if you like. So they realised, we're not going to see Krishna again. He won't be coming home out of the forest. He won't be glancing at us. He won't be smiling at us. He won't be playing his flute. So they'll no longer be captivated by his charm. So then they call out, not able to stop Krishna, they call out, O Govinda! Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes Govinda as the capture of the senses. So they're asking Krishna, please capture our senses. And if we can't go with you, then destroy us. Let us be destroyed. We're attracted to you, just as the senses drag the mind. So our senses are attracted to you. We want to be with you forever, but if we can't be, then let us be finished. They're also praying, don't destroy Mother Yashoda. Don't destroy the Queen of Vrindavan. So therefore they're calling out Damodara in remembrance of Mother Yashoda, who bound up Krishna. When Mother Yashoda realizes that you're not coming back, she will certainly die. So don't be guilty of killing your mother. Right? Not a good thing to do. Right? And also, Madhaveti means, Madhava means, is the name of Krishna, but Dhava means husband, and Madhava means without a husband. And also, you shouldn't be, they made the point that it's alright if the husband kills his wife. She's his property, and she and he can do with her what he likes. Right? It's not a popular philosophy in this day and age. This is their argument. It would be alright if we were your wives, because then we would be your property, but we're not your wives, we're the wives of others. We're somebody else's property. So therefore you shouldn't kill us. You shouldn't destroy us, because that's not your position. If we were your wives, it would be okay for you to leave us. This is their argument. Because a husband can do what he likes with his wife. Madhava. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains. Nice explanation of the word Madhava. But we're not your wives. And so therefore you shouldn't just be callous and kill us, destroy us. This is their move. Is Krishna is destroying, Providence is destroying us by taking Krishna away. And even though Providence in the form of Akrura, which means not cruel, actually it is cruelty. What you're doing to us is cruelty. And just see, Krishna isn't reciprocating, he isn't even noticing, he doesn't even care. This is how they're feeling. He just doesn't even care that he's breaking our hearts, he's breaking our connection. And then Akura, who had performed his pujas and done his ablutions and performed his morning puja and so forth, he's had his morning program, so then it's time to go. So he hops on the chariot. Krishna's already there, the other cowherd men and the boys are all ready, because for them it's a big festival. And of course the gopis are thinking, what's wrong with these stupid people? Don't they realise what's going on? They're all getting ready for a festival. This is not a festival. This is terrible. This is the destruction of our lives. This is the destruction of our existence. How can they be so enthusiastic to take Krishna to Mathura? And it's mentioned here, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions it also, that because Akura offended the gopis and didn't make amends, then he was cursed to be separated from Krishna later in the story of the Shamantaka, the stealing of the Shamantaka jewel. I think Akura stole the jewel, wasn't it? There's some story, there's some details, I can't remember exactly, but
he helped.
Huh?
He helped
steal it, yeah. So as a result of that offence, he was punished, wasn't he? Yeah.
He got really ashamed of
Yes, yeah. So, He also then was separated from Krishna. He also got to experience that separation. But it's interesting actually, it is said that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. He's always eternally resident in Vrindavan. So he never actually leaves Vrindavan. I always had a little difficulty understanding this point because obviously Krishna is leaving Vrindavan. But it's mentioned that the Yadu, Lord Chaitanya, it's interesting, Rupa Goswami was writing a play about Krishna and his leelas, Krishna and his pastimes. And Lord Chaitanya instructed Rupa Goswami, Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Yadu Kumar is an expansion of Krishna who performs his pastimes in Mathura and Dwarka, but he's not the original Krishna. So what Rupa Goswami eventually did was he split the two plays up into Lalita Madhava and Vidagdha Madhava. One play describes the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. That's the original Krishna. And then the other play describes the pastimes of Krishna in Mathura and Dwarka, which is the Yadu Kumar Krishna. He's actually an expansion. It's said that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, but then how does he manifest and maintain all of the material creation? Right? Because actually Krishna's everywhere. Krishna's within everything. Right? Ishvaraha Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha. Or Ishvaraha Sarvabhutanam Riddhesha Arjuna Tishtati. Krishna says, I'm within everything. But how he does that, he remains in Vrindavan eternally, but he expands himself in various forms. Vasudeva Krishna expands himself in various forms to perform all of the other different activities that are required for the maintenance of the creation, even his pastimes out of Vrindavan. That's actually they're expansions of the Vasudeva Krishna, not original Adi Purusha Krishna. They're his expansions. Because Krishna in his original Purusha always remains in Vrindavan. Although sometimes his pastimes are prakat, which means manifest, or aprakat, unmanifest. Right? And Prabhupada gives the example that just as the sun is always in the sky, but sometimes seen and sometimes not seen, so similarly also Krishna remains in Vrindavan. And because Vrindavan, Mathura, actually all of these places are very, very special in that Krishna is eternally present in these places, then they have a special potency. They have a very, very special potency. Vrindavan has a special potency in that when one performs devotional service there, then one is pretty much guaranteed to go back home, back to Godhead. Special place. Special places. Mind you, one has to become purified. Because even in Vrindavan, persons can remain still attached to material things. Prabhupada makes a point, you know, there are people who go to Vrindavan and still engage in mundane sense gratification, sex basically. And as a result of committing offences, then one doesn't actually get the advantage of living in the holy place because material activities are still material there. But the real benefit of the dham can be realised because Krishna is present. His presence is felt there very, very keen, very what's the word? Very easily. When you go to Vrindavan, or even Mayapur, Navadvipa Mayapur. These are also the Lord's eternal abodes. And so because they have that connection with the Lord, then they have this special potency. Very special potency to enhance our devotional service. So even though we may not be able to see Krishna in those places, still he's there. And the spiritual potency of Krishna's presence and the fact that it's connected, like Prabhupada gives the example of the Dham as being the embassy of the spiritual world. Just as we have the Indian consulate here or the embassy, then that's the manifestation of that country or that location in that particular place. So similarly also the Vrindavan, Navadvipa, these dhams are actually the spiritual world manifest in the material world. And so that gives us a very potent connection. And the reason why it's the dham is because that's where Krishna always comes to perform his pastimes. His revealed or his manifest pastimes. Although it is interesting actually, Srila Prabhupada has, by establishing temples all over the world, bought, you know, if you think about it, in Melbourne we have Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, so we have Navadvipa here, we have Radha and Krishna, so we've also got Vrindavan, and we have Jagannath, Balaram and Subhadra, so we also have Jagannath Puri, which is, you know, the worship of Krishna in the mood of Dwarka, in one sense, in the mood of Dwarka. You know, when Lord Chaitanya was dancing in front of Jagannath and seeing Lord Jagannath or meditating on Lord Jagannath, he was meditating on the different prayers from the Bhagavatam, different moods. One of those moods was that. And this was from when Radharani met Krishna at Kurukshetra, and Lord Chaitanya was reciting one prayer where he was saying, "It's the same full moon night, it's the same season, and the sound of Krishna's flute is the same, but I long for hearing that sound on the banks of the Jamuna in Vrindavan." So Lord Chaitanya was meditating on that mood of meeting, if you like, in Vrindavan. So Krishna was there, the whole mood and the scene was practically the same, but it was missing the surroundings of the Jamuna and the forest and the birds and the trees and the flowers and so forth, the atmosphere of Vrindavan. So in Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya was meditating on the pastimes of Radharani meeting Krishna in Kurukshetra in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Feeling separation from the pastimes and the meetings that they had in the forest of Vrindavan. So, Prabhupada has recreated, if you like, or has created within all of the temples within ISKCON embassies of the spiritual world where the devotees can relish the same transcendental mood, the same transcendental experience, the same feelings of separation and reciprocation even with Krishna. By recreating the Dham, practically speaking, in the temples around the world, Prabhupada has given us an opportunity to experience that feeling of meeting with Krishna and also being separated from Krishna. Of Quite amazing when you think of it. So, Krishna is about to leave Vrindavan. Led by Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd men followed behind Lord Krishna in their wagons. The men brought along many offerings for the king, including clay pots filled with ghee and other milk products. With his glances, Lord Krishna somewhat pacified the gopis, and they also followed behind for some time. Then, hoping he would give them some instruction, they stood still. As he departed, that best of the Yadus saw how the gopis were lamenting, and thus he consoled them by sending a messenger with this loving promise: "I will return." Sending their minds after Krishna, the gopis stood as motionless as figures in a painting. So they just. They remained there as long as the flag atop the chariot was visible, and even until they could no longer see the dust raised by the chariot wheels. The gopis then turned back, without hope that Govinda would ever return to them. Full of sorrow, they began to spend their days and nights chanting about the pastimes of their beloved. Okay, that's it. That's more or less the final pastime in Vrindavan. Does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? Yes.
This providence, the will of providence, is that the Lord's will, Krishna's will?
Providence?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, who are they cursing for taking Krishna off of Krishna?
Ultimately,
yes. But then they're using Akura, blaming him.
Yeah, they're blaming Akura. He's the agent of Providence. Providence is being, as Shakyamuni Thakur's commentary, he says, Providence is protesting. How can you criticize me and compare me with Krishna? I'm an old man and he's just a young boy. But yes, ultimately it's Krishna who's orchestrating through his lila shakti the pastimes. And of course what it does is it illustrates the superlative nature of the gopis. So that even though Krishna is leaving them, he never leaves them. Because they are always so focused on his meditation. They are unable to think of anything else other than his form, his smile, his touch, the sound of the flute, the fragrance of his body. You know, that deeply absorbed, just like, well, they're lovers, if you like. And so consequently, you know, the lover cannot forget the beloved. It's just part of their meditation. Like husband always thinks of wife, or the wife always thinks of their husband. They can't remove it. Just part of them.
It just seems real harsh.
Harsh?
Yeah. Well, like when David, was complaining to Vasudev about...
Vasudev.
He was saying, I was called Providence about
the separation between them and
killing the children, comes to taking the children off and killing
yes.
them.
Yes. Well, that's what they're saying. Providence, you're cruel. Even though you are presenting yourself as akrura, not cruel, you are so cruel. Because this is for everybody, because, you know, the instructions are valid for everybody. We are brought together for some time, but then, then we're all thrown apart to who knows where within the creation. Right? So there is a philosophical instruction in all of this. But the interesting thing is, for the devotees, especially the gopis, it enhances, it increases their meditation. They're not actually separated from Krishna. Their meditation on Krishna increases. It doesn't decrease or diminish. But it intensifies. So so on the one hand, it is pathetic, if you like, but, you know, it inspires what we post. Oh, this is a tragedy. Huh? The girlfriends are brokenhearted because the boyfriend leaves them. Huh? Or the other way around, depending on which, you know. But it is not a material loss, it's a spiritual gain. So it is not what it appears to be, right? The external. From the external point of view, it appears to be a loss. From the internal point of view, it is an enhancement of the love and affection and appreciation. So that's the spiritual perspective. Yes. Service in separation, which is, you know, what we get to do. We get to... So in other words, it's to encourage the devotees to recognize that service to Krishna is very potent and powerful in any stage or in any state. So, you know, when we are chanting Hare Krishna, then we can be with Krishna. Right? Even though apparently we are separated. This is why the Sankirtan movement is so powerful and so much of a benediction. This is Rupa Goswami, praise Lord Chaitanya. That personality who is given the chanting of the holy name is so kind. Because he's giving us an opportunity to be Krishna, even though we're so far away from Krishna. Simply by chanting Hare Krishna, we can again be with Krishna. Right? So in one sense it appears we're separated. But in another sense, we're given an opportunity by remembering Krishna, by chanting Hare Krishna. Well, one point I was going to make, you know, we can take advantage of the Dharma, but we have to become pure-hearted. We can take advantage of Krishna's temples, we can take advantage of Krishna's, of the association of the devotees, but in order to do that, to be free from offences and to actually connect with Krishna, we have to become pure-hearted. Lord Chaitanya is like the lion destroys the elephants of material desires. Right? Through the chanting of Hare Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya in the Kali Yuga has made the chanting of Hare Krishna so accessible for us, so easily accessible, and therefore has made Krishna so accessible for us through the chanting of Hare Krishna, that we, you know, we can actually easily overcome and destroy these elephants of material desires. You know, because sometimes our material desires feel like great burdens, right? Elephants, hard to move, hard to get rid of. But actually, when we chant Hare Krishna, especially Sankirtan, chanting congregationally, then all of the elephants of material desires are chased away. I just had Govardhan Puja and Diwali. I realise that, and Govardhan Puja is one of the most has always been one of the most popular festivals. Also, Snan Yatra is one of the most popular festivals. And one of the reasons why this is my analysis, one of the reasons why it's one of the most popular festivals is because the devotees come together and they chant Hare Krishna for a couple of hours. Right? So, you know, even the most mental case, right, if they sit down and participate in the kirtan for two hours, you know, by the end of the 2 hours they're jumping up and down and having a great time. Because all of the effort lumps have gotten driven off. And it's just pure devotional service. This is the, you know, the Pai Hare Krishna is so powerful that immediately we feel like we're with Krishna. Right? Just like you said the other day, you know, that picture that you took, this is probably the only one you get to be smiling, right? Why is that? Because you're in the kirtan. Right? Having good fun. Where everybody's having fun. So that's Lord Chaitanya's magnanimity. Prabhupada's mercy also. Following, you know, being empowered by Krishna to preach and to distribute the holy name. So Lord Chaitanya is praised by Rupa Goswami as being the lion, right? The lion that destroys the elephants of material desire, and then makes us able to grasp and appreciate our relationship with Krishna. Oh, we're in separation. Even though it appears we're separated by 500 years and, you know, 5,000 kilometres, how many kilometres it is to get to Navadvipa. Or even if you're in Navadvipa, Mayapur and Navadvipa, for example, or even if you're in Vrindavan, if we're still performing those simple material activities, if we're still hanging on to our material attachments, then we're still a long way away from Krishna, right? Just like the demons, you know, they come up close with Krishna, but they can't appreciate Krishna, they just want to fight with him. So even in separation, by the chanting of Hare Krishna, we get an opportunity, and, you know, if we can avoid the offences, follow the principles, then we put ourselves in a unique, or we are put by that, by the association of the devotees, and the potency of the Dharma, if you like, living in Krishna's temple, we're put in a situation where we can connect very easily to Krishna. Huh? So therefore, you know, you see the devotees all jumping up and down. Yelling out and carrying on. Just as we read in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Because in one sense our activities are extensions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are one of the branches of the Chaitanya tree. Prabhupada is one of the, comes from one of the branches of the trunk of the Chaitanya tree, so it's an expansion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Bhakti Vriksha, yeah. This is a very powerful tree because most trees stay in one place and they can't move around. This tree goes all over the place. It's a spiritual tree. Wherever the devotees go, then it's manifest in that location. So therefore, you know, it's not unusual to find yourself of ecstasy and enlightenment in that association. It's not normal. It's desirable. It's natural.
And do we feel this mood of separation and union?
Yeah.
When we serve in separation, would we have Krishna? Like, does that merge in and out? Like, we feel like we're going and then we're separated?
Sometimes we don't know. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Just like the gopis, they're feeling separation from Krishna, but they're always meditating on Krishna, so in that sense they're always with him. So the same principle. We're lamenting, oh Krishna, I'm not making any advancement, I'm not making any progress, please help me. So then we're thinking of Krishna. So that means actually we're with Krishna. That potent. That's why the devotees have to learn to appreciate sometimes the challenges in Krishna consciousness are not actually bad. because they intensify our desire to have to reach the goal, if you like. And especially in our preaching means we're facing challenges all the time. Right? There's always obstacles. And that just intensifies our focus on achieving the goal. So that's why it's interesting. Gunga and I were discussing this the other day. Devotees would sometimes ask Prabhupada about philosophical points. Prabhupada, Hare Krishna, just keep preaching, keep doing your service, and be revealed. Right? And you know, when devotees did, get involved in wanting to understand the higher rasas of spiritual realization and relationship with Krishna and so forth, Prabhupada got very concerned about that and didn't want it to interrupt the preaching. You know, he didn't appreciate it when the devotees became so too absorbed in understanding, you know, what is our rasa, you know, what is our rasa with Krishna, how can we make advancement. He didn't encourage that, but rather he encouraged the preaching. Because my understanding is because in performing, we rise early in the morning, we chant Hare Krishna, we study the Bhagavad Gita, we do our philosophical, or as in the Dinner Maharaj mentioned, you know, we're bhajana nandis in the morning and we're ghostiya nandis in the daytime. So we do our bhajan in the morning to cultivate our relationship with Krishna, but then we go out and preach and that helps us realize it. Because we're doing the service, we're doing the seva. And very often in doing the seva, what do we appreciate? We learn to appreciate our faults and our failings very often. Rather than, you know, sitting down, chanting Hare Krishna, and then starting to think, yes, oh, I'm very advanced, I know Krishna, I do, 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 do. And then, you know, as we all do. But Prabhupada pushed the devotees, keep preaching, keep preaching, keep preaching. Because that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. And then in following the externals, then the internal develops. It just has to develop. Because, you know, you can't be an effective preacher unless you are an effective sadhaka. So on the one hand, we perform the sadhana, chant 16 rounds, follow the principles, study the Bhagavad Gita, do the puja, do all the different things. Then on the other hand, and that helps us develop internally and strengthens us, so then we can go out and preach. And then by putting all of that into practice through preaching, we start to realize things as they are. So, they need to go together. Alright, preaching. It's now time to have breakfast. Grandeur, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.